listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday, September 24th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it's time to study the daily New Testament reading. And our guest pastor today comes to us from Statesville, North Carolina, Pastor Robert Dovenmuehl from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church there in Statesville. Good morning, Pastor Dovenmuehl.
Good morning.
So good to have you as our guest this morning and coming to us all the way from Statesville, North Carolina, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church there. Please share with us, Pastor, about your congregation, Holy Trinity in Statesville, North Carolina.
Well, we are a family here is how I like to, it's not how I like, it's just who we are. We have people that really care about one another here. And I'm very thankful to be a part of this congregation. We're not a large congregation, and we are the only LCMS church in the county. So it's a little bit different than in St. Louis, where you got a LCMS church on pretty much every corner. But we love the Lord, and we seek to serve Him.
Well, thanks be to God for the Word of God being proclaimed there in Statesville, North Carolina. Where is Statesville? Did you share that with us?
It's about an hour north of Charlotte, about 60 miles north of Charlotte. Mm-hmm.
I bet it's a beautiful part of the country.
It is a nice, it's kind of, we're about 3 hours from the beach and about an hour from the mountains.
So
we've got some nice choices of recreation.
Mm-hmm.
Sound... I enjoy hiking. And
well, then you're in the right place, huh?
Yes.
Well, very good. We are studying 1 Timothy today, chapter 6, verses 3 through 21. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we get ready to study this text?
Well, this letter is to a young pastor, and Paul is talking to him about what are the essentials of being a faithful pastor. And in this particular chapter, he's warning about worldliness. And don't allow himself to become worldly. Don't allow those who are in his charge to become worldly people. To always focus on Christ.
All right. Well, let's take a look. 1 Timothy chapter 6 today, beginning at verse 3. We're studying today with Pastor Robert Dovenmuehl from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Statesville, North Carolina. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email. The numbers 314-821-0850 or toll free 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. We'd be glad to take some calls. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Nothing out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. All right, so if anyone, going back to verse 3, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. Pastor, your thoughts here?
That is one of the essentials of our faith, I believe, is to make sure that we have a teaching that is correct. That we have to proclaim Christ and Him crucified.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't start going off into areas that are not scriptural and stick with what is true
He has, if anyone teaches a different doctrine, does not agree with the sound words of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. So if someone teaches something different than this doctrine, teaches something that does not agree with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has an unhealthy craving for controversy and quarrels. He just wants to get into wars with words.
Yes, and it points to Galatians chapter 1, where Paul also writes to the churches in Galatia that, I'm astonished that you were so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed.
So we want to stick to the gospel. Anything that's added to God's word is man-made and man-centered, right?
That's correct, yes.
And that leads to, as we see here in verses 4 and 5, that's focused on quarrels about words, envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, constant friction among people who are depraved in the mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain.
This is what James warns us about in chapter 3 and 4, warning us about worldliness. What causes quarrels? What causes fights among you? You desire, you do not have. You covet, you cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. So these are things we need to avoid and stick to the gospel, the truth of Christ crucified, Christ risen.
Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. How then do we have, we have a dichotomy here, as you said, the friendship of the world godliness, friendship with God. Godliness with contentment is great gain. How then do we have this godliness with contentment?
By faith in Christ and having our identity in Christ. Recognizing who Christ is, that Christ humbled himself. He is ruler of the universe, King of kings, Lord of lords, and yet he himself became flesh. He himself gave up everything that he had in order to come to us, to suffer and to die, so that you and I can have the forgiveness of sins, that we can be reconciled to God. He gave up everything for us. And so we can be content in that identity as children of God, as heirs to the kingdom.
If we have, verse 8, but if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content.
Yes, that's very hard for us.
Especially in our commercial, individualistic society.
Yes. We expect a lot of stuff, and it's always amazing to me how we have garages, and almost nobody can put a car in them. They're built to house a car, and they're full of stuff.
That is, you hit right on the head of the nail there of one of my pet peeves, driving through our neighborhood. The street lined with cars, and many of these houses have two or three car garages, yet they have two or three cars parked on the street.
Yeah. And then you've got all these storage facilities everywhere where people pay extra for, you know, a 10 by 10 space to put more stuff that they never see.
Absolutely. And I'm just as guilty. We live in a two-bedroom apartment, and when the Lord blessed us with a child, we had to move the guest room furniture out and put in baby furniture, and so that's all in storage because we didn't want to get rid of it just yet.
I'm thankful to have a wife who, if something sits around for 6 months without being used, it goes to Goodwill.
Well, that's a good plan.
Yeah.
It is so easy for us to become attached to our worldly possessions. But yet, verse 7, we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of it.
Yes. And that is so true. And it's, how do we come to contentment is the key. How can we know, how can we recognize that the stuff of the world really doesn't bring contentment.
Right. How do we find our contentment in that which God provides for us, both for this earthly life and for our eternal life?
Right. And the way to avoid that temptation is to recognize who we are in Christ, who Christ is, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we've been given all the riches of God in Christ. In Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, Paul writes, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." And he goes on, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, it also will appear with him in glory."
And that's good news.
Yes, it is very good news. And so we need to focus not on the things of the world, not on having, you know, so much of what we do, of what we buy, is because of what we want to appear to other people. I want to get a really nice car that people will see and say, "Wow, look at that nice new car that guy's got. He must be something special." But we are special not because of the things that we have, not because of the things that we buy, but because of who we are in Christ. Because we are sons and daughters of God.
Verse 9, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs."
Yeah.
One desire leads to another, it sounds like.
Yes, it does. It's because of our desires for worldly things that we end up in sin. We end up in covetousness. We see what somebody else has and we want that, rather than being content with what God has provided for us. God does provide. God is the one who gives us provision. He gives us food, clothing. He gives us shelter. If we can be content with that, then we won't fall into these snares of trying, you know. He says in verse 9, "Those who desire to be rich." It's not about the riches itself. Verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." It's not necessarily having money, having things, but it's that desire. It's the desire for things of the world, rather than the desire for the Creator.
That verse 10, sometimes is misquoted. "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil."
Sometimes it's money is the root of all kinds of evil, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that's not necessarily true. It's where is your heart?
Right.
As Jesus, when the rich young man came to Jesus, and what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus goes through all the second table of the commandments, you know, honor your mother and father and don't covet. And well, no, he doesn't do covet. Don't commit adultery, all those things. Don't commit murder. But then he says, give all that you have and come follow me. And the young man went away sad because his desire was more for the things of the world, for his money, his love of money, rather than his love for Christ.
Hmm. Looking at the first, up through verse 10, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text as we prepare to go on to the next section?
Well, it's certainly an introduction to the next section that where I think we've covered it though.
That's sure.
It's that desire for riches, desire for money, causes us to turn away from the one who gives us all these things.
We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Robert Dovenmule from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Statesville, North Carolina. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 6 today, verses 3 through 21. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll pick up at verse 11. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to His Time. The St. Louis Area Lutheran Prayer Breakfast will be held on Wednesday, October 14th at the Orlando Events and Conference Center in Maryland Heights. Open to all, the Prayer Breakfast will feature the Reverend Greg Seltz, Speaker of the Lutheran Hour, and all who attend will receive a free copy of his book. Ticket information is online at lutheranprayerbreakfast.eventbrite.com or by phone at 314-262-8217, 314-262-8217. You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Robert Dovenmule from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Statesville, North Carolina. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 6 this morning, verses 3 through 21. Pastor, are we ready to pick up at verse 11?
Okay.
All right, here we go. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. All right, let's take a look. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness.
Yes, he's been talking about the love of the world, and he's saying to Timothy, you set the example. You are a man of God. You are the shepherd of the flock. You especially need to set the example for those in your flock and not be a worldly person. And he says, pursue righteousness, godliness. These are the fruits of the Spirit. He's telling us that as pastors especially, but all of us, to seek the fruits of the Spirit.
And fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of witnesses. What is this good fight that we are to fight?
That is to remain true in faith, to seek the Lord, to have his presence with us, to abide in him so as he abides in us. To seek the Lord above all things. And when we take hold of that eternal life, that is the reward for fighting that good fight, to have, to be in the presence of God.
How do we take hold of the eternal life? How is it that we take hold of it? How do we grasp that eternal life?
How do we grasp it? By believing that Christ is our Lord and our Savior.
Amen. Amen.
And that's the work that we do, is to just take hold, by believing that Christ is the Son of God who became flesh, who suffered and died, took our sins upon himself, and was resurrected, leaving those sins in the grave, that we can be reconciled to God.
What about this confession? Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
Right. And part of our belief I'm trying to remember the verse. Believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth. Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. We need to share with others that we are believers, that we know that Christ is our Lord and our Savior, to confess that, and in the presence of others. And not hold it into ourselves, but to let others know that we are faithful believers in Jesus Christ.
When we make that good confession, when we confess that Christ, we are simply doing what the church has done throughout history, proclaiming that Christ crucified is the one who atoned for our sins, who paid for our sins. Simply confessing Christ crucified.
Right.
I charge you, verse 13, I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm. Yes, and he's pointing to Christ as our example. That Christ went to his suffering, went to his death in full knowledge of what he was about to do. He made that, he went before Pontius Pilate. Mm-hmm. He went before the Jewish rulers, and he was not swayed. He did not allow the fear of what was going to happen to prevent him from going through with it. That he was able to go before Pilate, and he was able to face the cross and his suffering and still remain true to what his Father's will was.
And to remain keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen.
A beautiful doxology.
Indeed.
Praise to the Lord. And it points to in Revelation, where Christ returns with all his glory in victory. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As he rides on a white horse, the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And that is the Lord that we serve.
Hmm.
He will be, he is victorious. He was victorious in his death and resurrection, and he will return. And as believers, we keep that in our minds, that no matter what shape this world is in, that Christ is victorious, that he will return and make all things right.
Who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see?
That's an interesting way of phrasing that. He alone has immortality, and yet he shares with us his immortality. He dwells in unapproachable light, and yet he invites us into that light.
That was my question. He's described as this unapproachable light, and whom no one has ever seen or can see. Yet Christ, who is God, is approachable and has been seen.
Only because he makes himself approachable.
Mm-hmm.
And we are sinful. We are by nature sinful and unclean. Mm-hmm. He is by nature holy and righteous. And through his coming to us, through his revealing himself to us, he gives us those gifts of immortality. He gives us the gift of being approachable. As Isaiah, when he had the vision of the throne of God, and he says, "Woe to me, I am a man of unclean lips." We are all, when we approach that throne of God, we will be in awe and reverence. And it's only through the forgiveness that we have through Christ that we can approach that throne of God.
To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As you said earlier, what a great doxology here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All honor and glory is his.
Anything else? Oh, go ahead.
It's not that we give him that honor. He already has. He already has eternal dominion. But we look to him and see his face, and we recognize his honor and his glory and his eternal dominion.
Good point. It's kind of like a popular phrase in American evangelicalism, to make Jesus your Lord. Well, how is it that I could make him my Lord if he already is the Lord? What could I do to make him my Lord? Whether I want him to be or not, he is the Lord. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess in the end, right?
Right. Whether believer or not. But as believers, when we see him face to face, when we see him clearly, we will know him who as he is. And we will know his glory and his honor and his power, and that we will share in. And he will clothe us with the robes of righteousness.
There is nothing I can do to, in and of myself, to make him my Lord, and there is nothing I can do to make him more holy, to make him more honorable or eternal in ruling forever. There's nothing I do that can do that.
All we can do recognize it and accept it for who he is.
And pray that, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, that his name is made holy among us also.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anything else up through verse 16 before we look at the next paragraph or two?
I think we've covered that pretty well.
All right, let's take a look at verse 17. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. All right, so as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty or set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy.
I think he's speaking specifically to Americans. Right. We do. We are a very prosperous society, and we don't even recognize it. Even among the poor in this nation, they have, we have more than we can possibly use, and so he is speaking to us here. Don't be prideful of the stuff that we have. Okay, you're rich, fine, but that's not who you are. And he talks about charging them not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. The wealth of this world can be gone in an instant. If you have a house full of stuff, you have a fire, what are the things that are important to you? Is it that beautiful house that you have, or is it just your life itself that you escape from that? Even though you have nothing left, you still have your life and you have your faith in Christ. The things of this world are not anything to put our hopes on. They can be gone in a moment.
So then, why in verse 18 are we told to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love others as yourself. That is, we first love God so that we then also love others. And it's through our works, not that in our works that we earn brownie points before God, but that in our works we show others who Christ is, mm-hmm. and that we shine that light of Christ through our life and not hold it in for ourselves. And to be generous and ready to share, because that, if we are generous with what we have, that helps us not to be focusing on that which we have. If we are generous and give, it helps us to be content with what we have.
And so to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life.
And what is truly life?
Good question.
Yeah, true life, that which is truly life is our having the presence of Christ with us. Knowing who he is and having that that eternal life, having the peace, the joy, and the love with us now and in the life to come. And he said, storing up treasures, that points to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. where your treasure is, there your heart will also be.
Mm-hmm. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. What is this deposit entrusted to Timothy?
The gospel. Preach Christ and Him crucified and risen. That is, that deposit is to have that faith in Christ that says, I know who I am. I know that I am a forgiven sinner. I know that I have eternal life in the presence of God. I know that I have Christ abiding in me in this life. I know that I have the Holy Spirit within me. And that is what we hang on to, not to get involved in all the different kinds of worldly things.
And this knowledge, what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. How quick are we to profess things called knowledge or think that we are wise, yet it actually leads us further from the truth?
We always have to be looking to Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we find our truth in Him. And to have the worldly knowledge that takes us away from the truth that we find in the Word of God. And to always recognize that God is Creator, God is Redeemer, and God is Sanctifier, and not to allow the knowledge of the world to come between us and who God is.
Grace be with you is the close to this.
Yeah. And the close to the letter.
Mm-hmm.
May the grace of God that always be with us. That is what we seek, and that's what's given to us is the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
By faith in Christ, He gives us His grace. And Paul writes this letter to Timothy and closes it with this little bit of just reminding Timothy of the grace of God.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text in 1 Timothy chapter 6?
Overall, be content with what we have. All that we have is a gift from God, and to be content with that, to be able to avoid envying, coveting, comes to us by having that faith in Christ, by recognizing our identity in Christ, that we are heirs to the kingdom of God, that we are the sons and daughters of Christ, and He will return and bring justice, that He will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that is who we are, His sons and daughters.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Robert Dovenmuehl from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Statesville, North Carolina. Pastor Dovenmuehl, thanks so much for helping us study this text in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and reminding us that we are sons and daughters of the King. Thanks for being our guest pastor today.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
Have a wonderful day.
Oh, thank you. You too. God bless you and all the saints there at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Statesville, North Carolina. Coming up in just a little bit, some sacred music to help sanctify our morning. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.